But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like. Till you're bleeding, I'm not about to see your life. But if you wanna find hell with me, I'm gonna show you what it's like.
Waging war on corruption, crashing to the lies and disinformation. I am your host, Alex Jones. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide is alexjoneslive.com. All right, Rex Jones, my great son, riding shotgun with us. When I said earlier, he's hosting the show now because he's gotten good enough. 23, been on the air off and on for 13 years since he was 10, been hosting for years his own show, and he's here because he's doing a great job. So is Harrison Smith. We intend to hire a lot more crew. We intend to expand, but we need your support, your word of mouth, thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we got Kyle Seraphin coming up. I want us to talk to him some about geopolitics. He's a veteran, former counterterrorism FBI. You got a bunch of other big subjects with him coming up. Then Mike Adams, what an expert on so many facets, not just an engineer, but geopolitical expert, speaks Chinese, you name it, works over there. He is on target about already what the Strait of Hormuz closure is going to mean. They're talking about $160 barrel oil, not just $140. This is a huge deal. Strategic oil reserve runs out basically in the next few days. EU's running out. China's running out with their reserves. This is massive. But the big issue is how to stop Trump. And we have to have Congress go for the war powers. They've three times tried to vote war powers. They're supposed to authorize a war. This is a war. They're getting the draft ready. If this isn't a war, nothing's a war. I mean, this is absolutely out of control. And so I'm calling for it right now. 25th Amendment, impeachment, whatever needs to happen to get this front and center, to get control of our country. It's impeachable alone that the president's supporting the NDAA. I agree with Tucker Carlson and all of the people that voted for this. The mergers with the foreign military, it actually says it in Section 219, clear as day, need to be in Nuremberg-style trials. I mean, this is unbelievable. And if you think it's crazy now, imagine what's coming with this. They want us in a total war so they can censor and take our freedoms and nationalize everything and push us aside with AI, total liability, immunity and protection. This is a disaster. We are facing tyranny, but the public's awakening. We've got to come together and transcend left and right. And we have to say no to an expanded war that will definitely destroy the economy, kill a bunch of our troops. They're preparing a massive ground invasion. It's all confirmed. This is going down right now. Rex, what do you think we should do to spotlight this? I'll tell listeners, we're live right now, share our live feed. We're going to cut all this up. You know, breaking, Alex Jones calls for impeachment of President Trump for attempt to re-implement the national draft and launch total ground invasion of Iran. Americans left and right must come together now and demand Congress invoke the war powers and end this war now. The Senate must vote down the NDAA that's already passed the House. We have our action plan. Rex Jones, what do you say?
Well, I mean, they're getting ready right now. All those soldiers you saw at the airport going to Kuwait, Jordan, Israel, other places in the Middle East, they want those soldiers to be used in a ground operation. They're doing the shaping operations for that right now. I've talked to Joe Kent, Anthony Aguilar, special forces operators about this all the time. They want those soldiers to die because then American nationalism will rise. We'll get upset and we'll say, hey, it's time for the draft. We'll accept it. That is where I see all of this going. This is the most dangerous time to be a young person in America in a very, very long period of our history. They want to draft us. They want to kill us in a war manufactured for Israel by Israel. That's what Joe Kent said in his resignation letter. He said that his wife, Shannon, died in a war manufactured by Israel. We're just in another one of those. Now, I don't know what direction it goes immediately. The escalation ladder, the escalation trap, world-renowned professor and geopolitical analyst Robert Pape talks about this all the time. There are no brakes on this train. And that's why my position, since I covered this at 2 a.m. in the morning when this was all happening on February 28th, March 1st, my position has been stop it now, leave now, take our troops home. And everyone who has made compromises, everyone who's tried to stroke the president's ego, everyone who's tried to be in the in club and hang out at Mar-a-Lago and to go to the parties. Here's the thing. That's like Berlin when it's being bombed by the Russians. That's where you're at. That's where we are. And it's time to wake up from that. We'll see you on the next segment.
I agree. That's like Hitler in his bunker as the Russians come into Berlin. Dead on, Rex Jones. We'll be right back. Stay with us. So many huge guests coming up. Share the live feeds now. You're Paul Revere. Share them now.
I see you sitting there on that couch every damn day watching the fight, but never throwing a punch for the cause. We're in the ring for you. Now you get in it for us.
I don't got a lot of money, but I give what I can. These bottles right here, they fuel the fight. Alex is out there swinging for us. Least I can do is swing back. Yo, Alex, thanks for having me on the show today.
Of course, we gotta have the champ on the show.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Now into hour number two of this live Tuesday, July 28th, 2026 transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. President Trump has ordered the Selective Service and Pentagon to prepare a AI bid by the 14th of August to implement the national draft. The law was already passed last year to implement the draft this year. They're openly saying they need hundreds of thousands, 500,000 troops to invade Iran. Joe Kent and many others have said on this show, and I agree with them, that they want to get troops into Kirk Island at first, where they'll be surrounded and killed. Then we'll be told, now we got to go to full ground invasion. That is the plan, putting our pawn out there to be destroyed. It's called a pawn sacrifice. I have three children that are draft age, Rex, who is 23, Charlotte, who's 22, and Georgia, who is 18 now. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I have three children that the meat grinder, just like they do in Ukraine, fighting the last Ukrainian in the proxy war against Russia. Now, the U.S. is a proxy operator for Israel. Their finance minister admitted this last week. This is the ideal situation. Israel said they will send no troops to join us in this war that they are lobbying for us to get into, like all the other wars for Israel. That is what this is. The NDAA has passed the House to merge our military and intelligence with the Israelis. This is a total coup. Kyle Serafin is a former counterterrorism FBI agent, an incredibly accurate and smart guy when it comes to his whistleblowing. And I wanted to get him on because he was right. You know, Cashtel's in a lot of trouble. We'll get to that in a little bit. And we also know prosecutions. You know, what's going on with the record level sweetheart deals and insider trading that would make Hunter Biden blush. But we'll get to that later in the hour. I want to get Kyle Serafin's take on the geopolitics and what we do. Congress has had three war powers votes. When you're in a full war, they're supposed to declare war. Those votes have all failed, including one by three votes last week. It's time for them to invoke the war powers and cut this war off. I'm also calling for the impeachment of President Trump of colluding with a foreign government to conduct a coup, merging us with the Israeli military and intelligence. I'm calling for him to be 25th amendmented for trying to get us into this war that he's already got us into, lying to us, totally half-baked, saying he had all these peace deals when the Iranians never signed anything. Having the strait closed, saying it's open, just everything President Trump has done. It's time to totally decouple from Trump psychologically as Republicans or populists. Expose the Democrats. They have the votes. With the few Republicans to override this, they haven't. Deal with them. Deal with communist China. Cut off Israel, who's trying to merge their military and co-own all of our weapon systems. So whether it's impeachment, 25th Amendment, those are long shots, but we can use that to make this front and center. And protest peacefully. You go to the state houses, go visit your senators when they're in the district, your House members, call Congress right now. But bottom line, the easiest path is the war powers. They need to invoke the war powers. We only need three votes. Congress needs to stop this now. And you see everybody from Laura Ingraham to Glenn Beck to Bill O'Reilly to so many others telling Trump you need to end this now. This is devastating the economy. It's going to kill us in the midterms. And that's just the old 150 days with the bombardments, the strait being closed. It's about to get a lot worse. So we're about to go to Kyle Serafin, Rex. But I wanted you, as a young man, a prime target of this, with them eyeing you with AI to be drafted and be sent to the Middle East to fight for Israel. What is that like?
Yeah, so I grew up at the office. I think the original Infowars office, first time I ever went in there was when we got it when I was like 7 years old. And the entire nature of our network since its founding, since literally before I was born, was an anti-war network. It was calling out the neocons, the globalist policy. What that means is building this empire of, you know, manufactured transnational capital combined with our own military industrial complex. To a degree now, we're not even only dealing with our own military industrial complex, we're going to be fusing and allowing Israel's to take control of us. So I look at it as a 23-year-old young man, and I see all these people that are 60, 70, 80 years old in Congress, in the Senate, like Lindsey Graham, 71 years old, talking about if we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this. What am I dying for, Lindsey? Like, if I'm going to go get drafted, go get blown up by an FPV drone, or if an Iranian 14-year-old is going to fire an RPG at my head, what am I dying for when my blood is in the Persian Gulf? Like, does that make anyone's life better at home? Does that improve anything for any American? No. But it makes a lot of Israeli politicians very, very happy. And that's why it's happening. When all else fails, they take you to war. That's what this is. It's the establishment of the Greater Israel Project. And I, as a young American, I don't have any choice, any say in that. I'm a member of the greatest nation on earth, a nation of over 300 million people. And we're beholden to, and at the beck and call, the government of a nation of 9 million people. And that is just the reality. You talk about Ukraine as well. And I think that this is worth bringing up. They want to throw us in buses and take us to the front line. And you say, oh, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. We hear about
Ukraine.
We hear about these armies,
what
Dad.
And what humans are in Ukraine, they admit, is decoys for the Russians to attack with drones and artillery so that satellites the U.S. runs can target the Russians. They're literally fed to cannons, the World War I term, cannon fodder, cannon feed. Now, let's bring in Kyle Serafin. I want to be very, very clear with everyone right now. This is all happening past your normalcy bias. It's only going to get worse till people get awake and get active and get very, very upset. And I'm not defending Israel here. We need to get a bigger picture. Israel is the main lobby in AIPAC that is the muscle to get this passed to primary anybody that doesn't support total war and Israel taking over our foreign and domestic policy completely. But you also have the military industrial complex, the arms manufacturers already selling $1 trillion a year worldwide and getting $1.5 trillion here domestically. They want it. You also have the big BlackRock globalists that want a world depression as a great reset. They've been bragging this war is depressing the world economy, which bankrupts the individual and nation states and allows them vertical integration and consolidation. So those systems are supporting the war as well. And then domestically, the politicians want a big war to take our liberties and our freedoms and set up a bigger surveillance police state grid. So you have a lot of different corrupt forces, a lot of them interconnected. You got the Epstein class wanting this as a distraction from that. That also goes to Israel and the Mossad. So it's Israel heavily nested in all of this, but it's also a perfect storm. We need to understand the other interests that want us in this as well. Let's bring in Kyle Serafin, a former EMT, former Air Force veteran, counterterrorism FBI agent, and the most famous FBI whistleblower ever. He's got about a 99% accuracy rate. To give us his take as a American, as a father, as a Catholic, on this big geopolitical system, what he thinks we should do to shut down the implementation of the draft that is now official. The articles with all government documents are at alexjoneslive.com, the mothership coordinates. Kyle Serafin will put up all of his URLs for his very popular podcast as well. Imagine the censorship during a total war. We are on the cusp. We're already in the new world war, folks. All the experts agree. But now it's about to get a lot hotter. We're about to go from red hot to white hot. Kyle Serafin, your analysis.
Joneses. Hello, gentlemen. It's good talking to you guys. This is an interesting time. I'm not nearly as riled up as what I just heard, although that's all those things are disconcerting. I just see this as a continuation of what we've seen from Donald Trump. I'm interested in your discussion about wanting a impeachment, that you think that that there's any energy to do that, or that even Congress would act and do a war powers when we've seen that they basically had the opportunity to do that. They've chosen not to. And it would indicate that Donald Trump is driving this ship, you know, and I don't think that's what's going on here. That doesn't seem to be the case. I'm not watching a Donald Trump, the same guy that I saw who claimed that he was the president of peace. I'm not seeing the guy that said he was going to go make America healthy again and had RFK Jr. come in, that he was going to go and show a bunch of declassified documents and brought in Tulsi Gabbard. I'm not seeing that guy running the show. It doesn't seem like he's actually running it at all. What I do see is that he's been kind of manipulated from the background, and it seems like the people, like the status quo, is what's getting its way. And the status quo is sort of like the American GOP neocons. They're getting war. That's what they do. And interestingly enough, one of the most vicious war hawks just died off.
I agree. 2 weeks ago, Tucker said Trump is irrelevant now and runs nothing. And so I think it is AIPAC and the military industrial complex, and status quo is leading us into a hot total conflagration. Kyle, what do you think about them trying to implement the draft?
I don't know if they'll be a need to, first of all, I don't know if they'll need to do that. So that's a possibility. Obviously, like simulations, they're not run in a vacuum. They don't run a simulation to not ever use it, but it doesn't mean that they're going to use it right away or that's going to be necessary. We have a volunteer military right now, and I think it's relatively well staffed for what we're doing. That being said, I sent the producer some clip of Lindsey Graham talking about this before he died, just a couple of days before he died. There's this release footage that just came out where they're talking about actually getting involved. And if you guys want to play it, he's talking about seizing cities in Iran. And that does require a significant ground force, which is what you would prep for this sort of thing. So I see what you guys are talking about as far as the Negro.
Clip 39. We played it last hour, but we can play it again. In fact, these are in context. Play 39. 40 and 16 back to back. They're all in context. And here's why it's different, Kyle. They have the thing ready and passed. Now they're having the AI prepare it. And I've seen top neocons and the guy they installed in Kentucky, the Israelis did, saying a few months ago on the campaign trail, we don't have the troops for an invasion of Iran. We've got to protect Israel. So we need the draft. So I'm telling you, the war planners want a draft, not the Pentagon actual leadership, but the ones planning it say we have to have the draft if we're given this order. So I understand there's a normalcy bias. It's hard to believe this is actually going on, but this is the reality. Who would have ever thought we'd be at this point? This is a new Trump, as you said. Here's the clips you mentioned.
Able to deliver. Well, to be honest with you, I think about 3 to 4 weeks, we should have them in a spot where they start losing control of some cities. And what we're trying to do is just get a few cities to fall in the next month, get the Arabs more openly involved tomorrow or by the end of the week, and just have almost irreversible momentum.
Do you have it on speaker, Ryan?
Yep, we're good.
Okay, all right, connecting you now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, baby, Lindsay.
Hey, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm just so impressed. Glad to be your friend.
I'm glad you are my friend.
I'm going to meet with the president this weekend. I'm going down to Doral. I'm going to try to get him to join with y'all in Lebanon to maybe fly some with you. Would you like that?
Yeah, I get that. I think you have a point, but I've been thinking about the other side of it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We're concentrating right now on Iran. If we tell Hezbollah that we're going all the way, we threaten them. But if we actually do it,
okay,
then they have no reason not to go all the way against us. And right
okay.
now, that's not our interest.
Okay.
We can do it later.
Well, I'll... Okay, well, that's actually good counsel. I'll put it out there as an idea. We can always go back to it. Iran, he's letting his thing slip away. We had him on the ropes, and his indecision is coming back to hurt us. And I got to go talk to him, you know. Open up the straits, keep the pressure on, unleash Israel to hurt him, and maybe you'll get a better deal. But the big deal, Saudi Israel, you went with me. That's the big prize, and that can't happen until Israel and Saudi believe Iran can't be an upheaval force, that they've been put in a box. And here's the good news. MBS and Bibi have two things in common. They owe Trump a lot, like Trump, but they're afraid of Trump. And Trump is the first president who doesn't hold back when it comes to Israel. I mean, I think he's going a bit too far, but he will dress Bibi down in a way that no other Republican president has ever done. That gives him some credibility in the Arab world. And I'm going to exploit that this is the party of Trump. And what I'm trying to do is prove that isolationism is an outlier in our party. So this was a referendum on isolationism versus Lindsey Graham, MAGA Trump.
So they're talking about sleepwalking us into war, not letting us know. They're taking Lebanon. They're talking about purging the party of all the real MAGA. Everything you see Trump do, you can tell it's Graham was controlling it. And like you said, he's dead now. Hope that has some effect on Trump coming back to sanity. Kyle Serafin.
Well, he's dead. And so what did you see today? We've got a meeting with Bibi Netanyahu, and we've got Vladimir Zelensky rolling into the White House to advocate on their own behalf because their proxy's not there. Everything that I heard him say, Lindsey Graham was a senator from one state. He was one of 100 people that was in a legislative body that has no executive authority. And he's out there negotiating with a foreign head of state. And he's advising military plans and what he wants to see implemented. And he's discussing, well, what on earth are we even talking about here that guy was in that position and that anybody even listened to him? But again, he wants to argue against isolationism, which is maybe not the express purpose of what MAGA ran on, but Donald Trump ran on America first, which means that you solve your problems at home. You have $39 trillion in a national debt. So maybe you don't bite off more additional wars. He also was a senator starting in 2003. He got elected in 2002 and then and came in 2003. So for the entire time that we had the global war on terror, Lindsey Graham was sitting in a position of some authority, although no executive authority. So I don't know. I look at these guys that are out there making these calls, and I see this. What I see is more of the same. I see more of the same status quo. I see that the war machine only knows war. It's been all of Rex's life that the United States has been in a position of war against, sort of not necessarily for our own best interest. A lot of guys went over.
That's a key point you made. In another clip we played of Graham yesterday, the Wall Street Journal got, he says, this is the greatest thing I ever did, convincing Trump to do this. He loves to blow stuff up. And you can see what Trump has said from these videos that they had embargoed. They're supposed to come out in a documentary about how he won the war, of course. They're admitting that literally Graham was Trump's brain to a great extent. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wild to watch it. And again, like I said, the status quo is that for the last 25 years or so, this country is basically in a permanent state of war, and nobody in America really felt it. And that's something I knew. I enlisted when I was in 2009. A lot of my friends have served and so on. And people showed up, and, I came out of college, and when I was in college is when 9/11 happened. So America kicked off a generational conflict in the Middle East, both in Iraq, it happened in Afghanistan, etc. So all of that stuff went on for all of my adult life. And watching people who have only known that, I think that people voted, especially young people, came out and turned out because we had a president that ran on the concept. He literally said, I am peace. I'm the president of peace. I'm going to, everyone else wants to start wars. I'm going to be the guy that ends them. And I'm going to end the war.
How
in
is
Ukraine,
the referendum going, Kyle? Well, how's the referendum going? Him supporting the lower Laura Loomers and the Ben Shapiro's and Mark Levin's. It's killed him. And he's lost almost half of his support. He's at 30 points versus 57. I mean, he's just destroying himself and MAGA.
I got
and then attacking his greatest supporters.
I got to come in here. Trump won in 2016 a referendum against the Iraq war. I used to fall asleep watching those primary debates. That's all he would talk about. That's how he tore down Jeb Bush. That's how he secured the nomination. That is the Trump that I knew. That is what got me excited. Exactly like you just said, Kyle, the entire time I've been alive, we've been at war in the Middle East, even longer than that. It's quite crazy to think about. So when somebody comes back in 2024 and presents this wonderful platform, here's the thing. We are not bad for wanting to hold Trump's feet to the fire and say, hey, we voted for this 2024 platform. This is the complete opposite of it. This is 2003 policy. And I it's so shocking to watch the news now and to see people from back in the day with like a 2006, 2007 opinion, and all it results in is more American dead. And here's my whole point. With friends like these, who needs enemies? We learn from the most moral armies in the world, right? Ukraine, forced conscription, Israel, genocide, war crimes, ethnic cleansing. Now we're going to do that. Hey, if they blow up the bridge, if they blow up the tent, we can blow up the power plant. That's not a problem because those are the people we put ourselves in allegiance with. We're aligned with their interests. And if we're aligned with their interests, it means we're also aligned with their morals, and their morals aren't our morals. I think that's very important.
And let me raise this point for Kyle. I want him to answer this question, and I'm going to disagree with you, Kyle. This is par for the course. This is normal, behavior on their trajectory. But saying Hitler invades Czechoslovakia and Poland and, all these places is normal, and North Africa, and then bombs England and then goes into Russia with Operation Barbarossa. yeah, this trajectory you can say is status quo, but it's leading us into total ground invasion and total insanity. They admit they're gearing that up, and the Pentagon has said they need a draft to get this done. So this is something we're facing. The draft is there. They plan on implementing it. They're saying that. The neocons are. How do you respond to that, and what do you think we should do to stop it?
So I'm a father now of young kids. I mean, my oldest is what? She's 8 years old. Or maybe she just turned 9. I better double check my math on that. My children are young, you know, and they came into this world as we were finishing the last war in theory. A lot of my friends have children that are slightly older. I got started a little bit late in life. And one of the reasons why Trump was appealing is because they'd spent their adult life at war. They wanted to see something different for their kids. There's a lot of military veterans you could talk to and you'd say, hey, would you recommend military service for your children? And many of them said, yeah, it made me the person who I was, but I don't like the idea that I'm a weapon system that's going to be pointed at an unknown adversary. At the end of the day, I may not actually agree with the reasons why we're going into conflict. And so, you know, you end up fighting for the person for your left and your right. You end up fighting for the people that, you know, you trained with, that you were in your unit, but that not in a broad sense for the nation. And I think the American people in general, they say thank veterans for their service. They want to thank people for what they did overseas. And at the same time, they're more than happy to point out, oh, you went into an unjust and maybe an evil war that was backing the military industrial complex, a bunch of financial gains for some evil corporations that just seemed to be, you know, trading in blood and you know, transferring it out for oil. And so there was a lot of instinct that people said, hey, could we just maybe take a pause? Can we get a couple of years in between to re-kit and retool? And oddly enough, even though Joe Biden did a disastrous withdrawal, and he did, and it cost 13 American lives, Donald Trump has now been able to have a death toll that's higher than Biden's, and he's managed to do it in a pretty short while. It's interesting you guys were talking about the debates that were going on in February. On February 28th, somewhere between February 28th and March the 1st, so as that debate was happening, the Trump administration actually pulled off their website. It's DonaldJTrump.com. Used to have that platform, the platform that they ran on in 2024, which brought together a really unusual group of people. Like I said, a lot of Democrats crossed the aisle and a lot of Republicans who were thinking, maybe we can't get out of the status quo by doing what we're doing. Maybe we've got to look at an RFK. Maybe we have to consider somebody that's kind of outside the box on that. And they said, we're going to create this coalition. And the coalition of people are, they want America healthy. They want America financially solvent. They want America interested in America's problems. Donald Trump ran on a domestic agenda. And so for the defining thing
totally
to happen in the second,
that. Now he's totally,
yeah, if your second
totally
term is all
that.
About, if you're going to spend your entire second term trying to figure out what you're going to do in Iran, and you're going to try to go out there and go to war, what looks like based on what the Secretary of State said, what the president himself said, what the Speaker of the House said, we're going to do this because another country was going to take an action and that was going to compel us to be attacked. And therefore we had to preemptively attack them. All of that is the exact opposite of what the man ran on. And so again, there are people that continue to hold this agenda that was promised and just say, hey, look, man, nobody wants whatever it is you're selling. And Donald Trump is in the business of legacy right now. From everything I can tell, everything that people talked about, he's interested in how are people going to remember him. They're going to remember him as a guy that basically caved to the neocon war machine that has been in operation for 25 plus years. And it looks like it's ready to swing back
into
power
because that's what they know. And got us into the worst war ever.
Yeah, and it's going to just swing us back in because that's what it knows. And so, you know, it's like we've exhausted a bunch of munitions. We're going to have to re-kit and retool. Everybody thinks that we're giving all this money to Israel. At the end of the day, we give Israel money to buy American products. So we're actually giving money back to American companies that make, you know, things for war. So if that's what our economy needs to be able to kick it back into high gear, I think that's where Donald Trump's mind must go. But it doesn't seem like he's driving the ship.
It's not working.
Yeah, it's the exact
opposite
of what
he's promised. Because the energy prices have exploded. Yeah, they've done the actuaries. The amount of money we're making off war weapons is nothing near to the cost of inflation and what's happening. I know we're going to shift gears into no prosecution and what's happening at the FBI, what's happening with the ongoing case of the pipe bomber in D.C. I'll tell you something right now that is one of the most, if not the most important things I've ever talked about on air, and I want you to really listen to me, and I want you to get a pen and paper out of your iPhone, out of your Droid, and type this into your notes. And I want you at lunch today or tonight or right now to just go to any search engine you want and type in two different names, two different words, okay? Two different drugs that have won Nobel Prizes, you name it, that people don't want you to know about. And one of those is ivermectin that everybody knows about. The other one that most people still don't know about is mebendazole. If you do the research, then it's important to understand that you need to get it from a pharmacy. You need to get it from a doctor. And we have a sponsor, and that's, of course, Bigley. And they went and they used the same service as, you know, the big web RXs and great people we've used that have been sponsors in the past. But this is Bigley doing it. And the key is it's real, it's pharmaceutical, and it is a very low price. People are selling knockoffs of it online without a prescription, and a lot of it's fake or a lot of it's watered down and adulterated. Because I did a regimen a couple years ago of mebendazole. We'll put that on screen. That's how you spell it right there. Mebendazole. And it didn't have any effect. I bought it off of Amazon. And then I did more research, and they said most of that stuff's fake. So I went and I got it from a doctor, and it was incredible. And my own medical doctor owns clinics all over the state of Texas had already been pushing it on me for years, and I just never done it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get the two in a combo, the ivermectin and the mebendazole together, and they work synergistically together. It is certified and known, both of them, as incredible anti-parasite. Just search the term ivermectin, mebendazole, and just put in study and do your own research and see what the system has been suppressing about this. And this is something, in my view, talk to your physician, and when you go to the website, it's, you know, online pharmacy, and they've got nurses, doctors, all of it. And then you get the prescription. It's very, very easy to do. And I would recommend to talk to your doctors. It's my own personal opinion. What I do for myself is twice a year, I take a regimen of ivermectin and mebendazole. And it is incredible. People ask why I look so young while I'm healthy. Well, it's a cocktail of things. It's the ivermectin. It's the mebendazole that I take about twice a year as a regimen. Some people, my medical doctor says, take a little bit of ivermectin every week, but I tend to forget to do that. She literally just says take like two pills a week as a supplemental. That's what my medical doctor tells me. You get your own medical doctor to tell you what you want. But the big thing they say is a couple of times a year, a big dose, a big regimen. You talk to your physicians. You talk to the folks in the online pharmacy. Let me put it on screen for you. 1776RX, just 1776RX.health. This is one of the most important things you'll ever do, ladies and gentlemen. And despite the system trying to suppress this information, it's getting out everywhere. So do your own research. This is revolutionary. This is so important. 1776, just the numbers. 1776RX.health. Those are the coordinates, and it's a win-win to fund our operation and what we're doing. Take action now. The most important decision you'll ever make, 1776RX.health, and get your ivermectin mebendazole right now, ladies and gentlemen. But whatever you do, go to the AlexShowStore.com. These are incredible products. All these things work. They'll have sexy names. Irish sea moss, Shilajit, bovine colostrum. Oh, research bovine colostrum and then find out we have the best. Oh, research Irish sea moss. We have the best. Research Shilajit. We have the best. We just bring you things the bad guys don't want you to know about at TheAlexShowStore.com and, of course, at 1776RX.health. Take action now. Thank you so much for your support.
Fortune tanto vulnera, sibila tibus ocellis, fortu amici vulnera, sutra imprevedis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Kyle Serafin has got a lot of breaking news and analysis on what's happening domestically. And so much more. I'm going to hand the baton to Rex and him in just a moment. And then Mike Adams will get back into geopolitics, what's happening with the fertilizer, not just the energy prices exploding, and so much more what we're facing. And then Rex is going to be taking calls and more into the fourth hour today. But just please remember, we are fundraising. We have enough money to operate at this limited scope of the Alex Jones Network with just myself, Harrison, and Rex. I want to get more hosts, more reporters. We need the funds. We've proven ourselves in the fight. The bad guys have been trying to shut us down. The products are incredible. Just decide to support ourselves and support your own health at the same time and get great Patriot apparel. It's fun to wear and meet my minded people and the collectible coins and so much more. The very best water filtration, shower heads, you name it, highest quality, highest standard, cut out the most garbage, lowest prices, huge sale right now, a whole bunch of the supplements like Methylene Red and Ultimate Power. You thought Turbo Force was great. This is even better, 10-hour clean energy. It's all 50% off right now. That sale ends in a few days at thealexjonesstore.com. And then separately, the folks at Bigley have launched an online pharmacy, and it's amazing. But the first thing they're offering, next week they go to full pharmacy, but I want them to do this first, is ivermectin and mebendazole, which are both incredible antivirals. Ivermectin won a Nobel Prize for that. But the two together do so much. It's not just worms and things, all these different types of bacteria, microplasms, amoebas. But that's not the big thing with mebendazole, okay? Just look up mebendazole, M-E-B-E-N-D-A-Z-O-L-E. Just look up that term and type in studies and look at what else it's known for and why the system is trying to suppress it. Now, you can get the stuff online, but so much of it is adulterated or fake. This is medical grade from a pharmacy. You talk to a nurse or you talk to a nurse practitioner or doctor, or you just do it all right there online. Answer the questions. Very easy to do. Get it now at 1776rx.health. Everybody should do this a couple times a year. Talk to your physicians, what I do personally, to just to detox and do a cleanse. 1776, just 1776rx.health, and experience this at 1776rx.health. It is amazing. Everybody should research mebendazole, M-E-B-E-N-D-A-Z-O-L-E, but it's with ivermectin that supercharges it as well. Ivermectin and mebendazole at 1776rx.health. Take action now. I want to thank you all for your previous support, your word of mouth, your prayer. But these are amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com and at 1776rx.health. Take action. We cannot do this without you. We want to fight the globalists. We're having a huge effect. We don't compromise. We don't back down. Now it's more important than ever. We stay on air. So thank you for your support. If you've never gotten the products like Ultramethylene Blue or our Shilajit or our Bovine Colostrum, all of it is the very best. All of it are game changers at thealexjonesstore.com. And ivermectin with mebendazole is a total game changer. Take action now at 1776rx.health and thealexjonesstore.com. I now hand the baton to Rex Jones and Kyle Serafin. Stay with us, my friends.
Thank you. Really appreciate the sign off, Dad. We're going to be live. I'll be in the chair every single day, Tuesday through Friday. We got a lot of phenomenal guests. Kyle, I'm so happy to be on the air with you. We've done our show together before. I think you've been on Gray Area Talks, and I really appreciated having you on then. There's a lot I wanted to discuss, but let's go ahead and get into the Kash Patel news if we can. I want to go ahead and roll. I believe it's clip number, let's see here, clip number 26 on Kyle Serafin from Kash Patel. Can y'all hear me?
We have footage right here on the footage that should have never been public, right? That's a dude flying a drone of the FBI raiding Epstein's Island with the New York Police Department, right? You can see their shiny vests. And these bros in this frame and all out of play, they're carrying out boxes. They have an entire human army carrying out boxes of information.
Yep.
You can see the FBI carrying the physical information from Jeffrey Epstein's pedo island. And then they're just going to straight up lie to Pam Bondi and actually humiliate her, which is what makes my blood boil. They embarrassed her.
They don't feel accountable. They don't feel accountable to the attorney general. If I'm going to give advice to Kash Patel, I'll do it just here, like to everybody. Please. This is what should happen. Kash should jump on that plane, which we talked about last time. He can get on there and he could be in New York in a few minutes. Yes. He needs to go up there, take James Dennehy, who's been on a conference call and resisting, apparently, like releasing any of this information. He needs to stand in his office and give him a direct order, open up the file that covers all of these investigations in Sentinel, which is the record keeping sort of system of records for the computer. Pull it up and go serial by serial. And every single person that approved a serial is an entry, whether it be an interview, whether it be a piece of evidence, every single person that was involved in this case, whether they're an evidence technician, whether they were an SOS, like some kind of an analytical personnel, whether they were an intelligence analyst or the FBI case agent who was working on it. Any person that did an interview, that collected evidence, that did anything that has their name on it, needs to be called into a conference room, whatever field office they're in. And if there's a retired person that's in there and they've left the bureau, send somebody to their house to hang out with them and get the answers like by the end of the day.
So, Kyle, what's going on with this very transparent cover-up that we're seeing?
We can't get anything we voted for.
Right.
Look, we have a guy that basically is running around doing a PR campaign to maintain his job. And I think that Kash Patel's maybe core competency is kissing Donald Trump's ass.
King Grifter.
That seems like, and the fact is that Donald Trump seems to have a huge blind spot for people that do that. So it's very difficult to take people who are your yes men and say, you know, I got a problem with them because they just say yes to you. And so they're subservient in many ways. The crazy, and let me give you a crazy example. So that was Epstein. We've actually just recently seen the Iranians and their little sort of info war that they're playing back and forth. They're doing an information war against the Trump administration, trying to subvert and undermine what, you know, the administration is saying that they're doing. One of the things they put out was this Lego video. They've got a bunch of them, but the most recent one of them basically accuses Donald Trump of being a pedophile protector, which is related to Jeffrey Epstein, that people are calling for Epstein transparency and they're not letting that go. They're not letting this stuff fall away. And I think a lot of Americans lost faith in what the administration would do simply because of that. And a lot of this had to do with discrediting done by people that were already in the government. It's my ongoing supposition. You cannot do reform with the same people. This is a Machiavellian concept. You can take this back to like the 16th right. century, that people knew when you changed government, the only way that you were going to get actual change of regime is that you took the people from the previous regime and you did one of two things to them. Either you exiled them or you executed them. Those are your two choices. They can no longer work in government and they may have to leave the country. That's what they used to do. We don't really do that here. Or they got to be killed. They got to be put to death. We've had none of that. But they're pointing out that there have been some fundamental inconsistencies. Let me do the most recent one. Donald Trump on Thursday of what? Last week? Is that what it was? He stepped out in front of the American people. It might have been 2 weeks ago. He steps out and does a 25-minute discussion about how the Chinese stole the election in 2020. Do you remember listening to that?
Sure.
And what was the point? That the Chinese hacked election systems, that they were running information campaigns, that they were having access to information they shouldn't have had that was in the voter rolls, and et cetera. So Kash Patel went to China. And did he do something about election security? Was he there to ensure that the 2026 midterms are going to be above board? No, he went there and talked about who knows what, like maybe fentanyl and maybe talking about his Chinese stock portfolio, which involves right. a holding company that has like, close to $5 million or somewhere between $1 and $5 million with a Xi'an ownership control stock. And so you've got our FBI director hearing the president of the United States talk about a threat country, and China is the biggest threat country. People get worked up about Israel, and I understand why, and it got a lot less attention than it probably should have for a long time. But the Chinese are the single biggest geopolitical threat. They're the biggest in size. They have the biggest in scope. They have the biggest military spending. They're running the proxy, countries that we consider to be threats, and they work regular and active operations against the United States. And so apparently we can go there and we're going to make nice with them and hang out and speak with the Minister of Public Security, like with our FBI director. And we're not going to talk about the one thing that the president spent 20 plus minutes in a national address on just a few days ago.
That's a great point. Yeah. And just this whole topic, I mean, we're talking about the Epstein files first and like the very apparent cover up that's going on. I mean, here's the thing. The thing that broke my heart and got me off the Trump train pretty much permanently is when he says Epstein, who did he traffic? He basically didn't even exist. He's just a teacher, had some money that did something with a 17-year-old one time. Would I point to people like Michael Tracy, Andrew Wilson that do this Epstein apologetics thing? What is Ghislaine Maxwell in prison for? She's serving 20 years in prison for trafficking children to and with Jeffrey Epstein. Those are the charges. And so Kash Patel is a pedophile. Go ahead.
And Kash Patel went on record under oath at a hearing, and Thomas Massey held his feet to the fire on this. He did it both in front of the Senate and he did it in front of the House committees. And when he was asked, like, who did he traffic to? He was like, we have no evidence of anybody. And so here's the crazy part about all that. There is no doubt in my mind. You can go to Drop Site News and find out that there, and this was open source reported in a number of places, that the Israelis were involved in the physical security at Jeffrey Epstein's penthouse mansion in New York. Okay. So the Israelis were involved in physical security, which means they had cameras, they had some sort of monitoring system, etc. When a foreign country gets involved in U.S. soil and is securing the residence where one of maybe their, and it was the Israeli permanent mission to the UN, lest people want to go and fact check this. This is what it said. The Israeli permanent mission to the UN was the one that set up some of the security in that penthouse. There's no chance that you don't have a counterintelligence investigation into Jeffrey Epstein and the people that are associated with him. It's not possible. So the New York field office, which I was referencing in that Benny Johnson clip, they were involved in a
long-term intelligence investigation into Jeffrey Epstein, and we've seen exactly zero files out of that. Now, those are probably carved out from the Epstein Transparency Act, or the Epstein Files Transparency Act, because they're going to be called national security. But the entire purpose of what Donald Trump came in and the entire point that Kash Patel has been making for the last, I don't know, several years is that we needed transparency and declassification and so on. I sent you guys a clip, and I sent it. It's from the Tucker Carlson show that was just aired yesterday. It's with my friend Jim Erdman, who was in the CIA. It's the first clip that I sent. And if you guys take a look at this, he basically breaks down this massive disconnect, which is that Donald Trump has issued executive orders saying declassify these things. We had Pam Bondi, who theoretically has the force of and the ability to declassify certain things, but she couldn't even get it from her own subservient agency. The FBI works on behalf of the DOJ, and the Attorney General is the top figure in the Justice Department to include in the FBI. When I was having COVID policies shoved down my throat under the previous administration, it came from DOJ, not from FBI. FBI implemented, but DOJ ran it. And so when the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, who's supposed to come in and be on the page of the president and, you know, all the president's surrogates were talking about transparency, about Epstein and about MLK and talking about, you know, JFK and UAPs and like you name it, they were talking about it, MK Ultra. They were going to do all these declassification operations. People always wonder, like, how in the hell does that not happen? Where does it happen? Where does it get jammed up? And at this point, I think the system is just so big that it just does the status quo. It's the same reason why it's tending and tilting back towards war, because it's been doing war for 25 years and it's what it knows. And so if you guys want to knock that clip out, it'll explain to you. This is a former CIA case officer.
Really quick, while we get the clip loaded in, crew, just let me know when it's ready. Here's how I see it all, Kyle, and you give me your expert opinion on it. It's basically like we got a dead body and it's covered with the tarp and there's blood coming out from underneath it. And you can see the feet sticking up. You can see the nose. You can see it's a person. And you're like a police officer, like, hey, can I see what's under that tarp, please? That looks awful suspicious. They're like, come on, man. It's a pallet of wood.
Worse than that. They'll say we have a policy against lifting tarps.
Yeah, that's a good way.
To show you what's underneath there. And you probably have you might be right. I'm just saying. But we have a tarp policy, and the tarp policy says nobody can lift the tarp without the following checkoffs. We're going to have to run this by a couple of different attorneys. We're going to also run it by a couple of other interested agencies. We're going to ask the people who manufactured the tarp. We're going to have to find the person that put the original tarp down and see if they clear it. And then also there may be some interest of the foreign manufacturers that made the components to make the tarp. So it ends up getting very litigious, and it's like the roadblocks get thrown up. They're artificial and they're made up. At the end of the day, you or I or the officers there or anybody else could lift up the tarp. In your analogy, the tarp is easily lifted if somebody had the will to go and do it. But if you're willing to listen to all the voices chirping at you, and this is essentially what Jim Erdman says, there's a lot of chirping. And so that's where the default position is. The default position is, what have we always done? We'll just keep doing that. Oh, did the executive say we have to declassify? Yeah, but we don't really want to do that, because when we do that, then we lose some secrets. And, you know, what if we were to do this terrible thing where we expose something we didn't mean to? It's better and safer that we just don't do what the President
sources,
of the United States of America said.
Hurt our victims, stuff like that. Okay, we've got the clip. You want to intro this again really quick?
Yeah, it's real simple. It's Tucker Carlson. The guy who's sitting here is Jim Erdman. He's a friend of mine, so full disclosure, I like Jim a lot. I think he's an awesome person. He's given up a lot personally that is not obvious in this podcast. And the podcast is worth people's time for listening. He's a former case officer in the CIA, which means he went overseas. He speaks Mandarin. He speaks Arabic and obviously English. He was a Ranger in the 75th Ranger Battalion. So as far as people who have like the bona fides of being an American hero, he fits into my category pretty aggressively. And he used to recruit spies for America. He would go and recruit people in foreign governments and in foreign places to give information to the American government so theoretically our policymakers could make good choices. And he's talking about, why don't we see this action that we thought we were going to see in transparency?
Let's play it.
Do that. You could, in theory.
What do you mean in theory? This is the president's agency. He was elected by the public
to run
CIA. Like, I'm missing something.
Sorry, no. You are 100%
Trump
right.
Trump treats CIA like it's a foreign power that he has to negotiate with.
I can't understand why.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
It should work like that, but it's not. It's not working like that. There are frankly, Director Gabbard shouldn't have to negotiate with Director Ratcliffe over some of this stuff. She had people in her team that have all the intelligence background to handle the type of products that were coming out of CIA, operational traffic, those sort of things, and had to negotiate. Everybody's got to negotiate. Why do we have to negotiate Why would President Trump?
Where's the president in this? The president issues an executive order January 23rd saying, I want all available documentation on these number of historical incidents, including the assassinations of the 60s, but not limited to those. He doesn't get it.
He does not. And, you know,
So why doesn't Trump say, okay, it's been a month. I want it by this afternoon.
Where is it?
Or you're under arrest. I don't, what is going on?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew because we expected, when I say we, I mean the American public voted for the greatest disruptor in American history.
It's not hard, is it?
But he's not, for some reason, he's not being the greatest finisher, in my opinion.
He's a colluder with the system. I don't get it.
I don't understand because we really want to see him successful.
So how hard is it to get, and I'm just going to pick the most benign of them all, and that was Kennedy's murders because it's so old, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not possible you're revealing sources and methods. Everyone's dead. Like, I don't really see the legitimate impediment to producing these documents after all these years and all these votes by the Congress to do it, multiple executive orders, including this one. So they don't produce those documents, which they have not.
They have not.
Why would it be hard for Trump just to say, time's up, I want them now?
There is a sea of lawyers who covets and say, here's all the things that are, here's all the reasons you could be sideways with the law. Trump has full power to do all this, but
he does, correct.
He could just do it immediately. But for some reason, the bureaucrats, they all sit around covetsing over all the legal ramifications.
Wow, that's literally the TARP analogy that I just gave. Yeah, break that down.
That's what you just heard. There's two things that are gems in there. Number one is the bureaucratic stops that have prevented it. I guess there's three things. The second thing is that we have a president who came in under the auspices that he was going to hurt feelings and break things. I think that is a fair characterization of what Donald Trump sort of said he was going to do.
Wrecking
he was going to drain the swamp. Yeah, he was going to come in and you know, we elected a guy who told us in the first campaign that he had FU money. And so the idea behind having FU money, which is that I've got so much money that I don't have to ask anybody else for permission to do stuff. You could say FU. You got to say FU, though. And he doesn't say FU. What we see him saying is he got demolished in the first term, lost net. You know, his net worth went down. And in this term, what we see is essentially that he's been rug pulling his followers. He's been pulling money out of all kinds of stock deals. They've been having people in his orbit that are speculating on stuff because they know what he's about to tweet or post on Truth Social. And so we've seen the exact opposite of the attitude that a guy's going to come in and be a revolutionary. That's going to be the greatest disruptor of the system. And he campaigned on one thing. And for about 6 months, we started seeing some pretty good action. For those of us that were seeing it, we're like, okay, we got the guys we hoped we would get. Unfortunately, we got podcasters that think that their job is to just talk and be podcasters, when in reality, the action of being in the executive means you have to execute. And so anyway, we see about 6 months in, we saw a fizzle. We saw Doge get disbanded. We saw none of those things get codified. And we saw the system reassert itself in a way that shows that it has primacy. I mean, the status quo regains the status quo at all costs. And if that means that it has to threaten or coerce or destroy people along the way, and I think you have two choices. You can either get on board or you can get destroyed. Donald Trump got more or less destroyed in the first term. I think that the opposite has happened in this one. That's kind of what we're seeing. The second thing is, or the last thing in there, just as I finish up, Jim mentioned that Congress and the White House end up treating the intelligence community like a foreign power.
Right.
That they have to go to the intelligence community and ask for things when they, in fact, are supposed to have oversight and execution, and they're supposed to be able to demand things, and they don't act subservient to the groups. So we have a country inside of a country that's operating on its own interests, which sometimes aligns with Israel or a war or whatever else. So that's the thing we're fighting, and they're not winning.
Right. It's very clearly like a dark power interest. And we look at that interview with Dan Bongino and Kash Patel, where it really all went south for me when they said, I've seen the file. He killed himself. You know, that's just a complete betrayal of the American public, in my opinion. I don't know how you can square that. I mean, you have people. Kash Patel wrote a book. You can look this up. This isn't fake, where he is a little knight and he helps Trump, the Wizard King, complete a magical adventure. Okay.
Right.
We were sold. Epstein files release, deep state prosecutions, bringing the pedophiles to justice, ending human trafficking. And all we see is them doing all the stuff they promised not to do. Look at Christopher Wray and the jet, Cash Patel, Christopher Wray and the jet, Christopher Wray and the jet. Now he's using the jet to go see the country music sensation. So
you want to hear the worst thing about that?
Go ahead.
Cash Patel and I had a conversation on January 16th of 2023, and we were in Carbone, which is a restaurant at the top of the Aria Resort and Casino. I'm very specific about when this happened. And we had a conversation with two other men, one of whom owned a private jet, about Chris Wray's private jet use. And out of that conversation, Cash passed me information to reach out to Josh Hawley's office. And I went to Josh's office, or Senator Hawley's office, and I shared it with either a chief of staff or like a chief legal aide or something like that. And I said, I'm coming to you with what's called a protected disclosure. That's a whistleblower allegation. And I have probable, you know, I have reasonable belief that there is a violation of rule, policy, or law that Christopher Wray is abusing this jet. And he's doing so in what are called fraud, waste, and abuse statutes. He's using the taxpayer money in a way that he ought not to. And so Christopher Wray was questioned about the jet use, and they read from my letter at the hearing. And I've posted this online for people to see. But in the first line, it said, I got your name from Cash Patel. And he told me to reference this other guy as well. And so I'm bringing you this allegation, this protected disclosure about this use of the jet. And here's my allegations. And so from January of 2023 to February of 2025, Patel went from campaigning on advertising that he was against it, saying Chris Wray didn't need a private jet, telling Glenn Beck it costs $15,000 every single time it takes off the runway, to I'm required to fly like this and I have to, and Congress says I need to, which, by the way, it's not a Congress policy. It's a DOJ policy. It's literally an executive policy. They could change it tomorrow and he could stop flying on the jet. But we've seen these people basically come in and say, the Democrats seem to want to grow government for every reason. And the Republicans seem they're completely agnostic about the size of government as long as they're in control. That is not the Republican Party that I grew up with. Before you were born, I was watching a Republican Party that I wasn't a member of, but they said they wanted small government.
Right.
They at least campaigned on saying, let's shrink the size of government. Nobody's making that argument anymore. So nobody cares about the size of government. What they care about is, am I in charge of this government so I can profit? And Cash Patel is a great example of someone who's out there living like a billionaire playboy, even though he doesn't have $1 billion, flying around on our jet, acting like it's his own. And he's not married. He's got a girl who is his friend. And for whatever it's worth, they're actively suing me for $5 million for words that I said offhandedly on one podcast right after they boosted the signal of that podcast and said, look how bad this is. Then they sued me over it instead of trying to mitigate damages. So I have a personal stake in this for sure. But what I voted for was, I don't know, American freedoms, like freedom of the press, like your dad should be able to say what he wants and you should say what you want. And if it hurts people's feelings, welcome to America.
That's right.
And instead what we got is a quote unquote Republican group, a quote unquote conservative team come in, and they're doing all the same things that the last guys did, but they're the ones that are just branding it differently. And they're giving you this terrible choice. And they say, if you don't support us, you're not patriotic.
Right.
They ran on nostalgia. They ran on the idea that America was once great and we could attribute that greatness to certain things and we should aspire to go back to it. And instead what they said is, it's great because we're in charge.
We are holding people accountable. We're doing the hard work. Thank you, Kyle. We'll talk soon. I'll have you back on the show soon. Kyle Serafin, follow him on X. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with Mike Adams after the break.
I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold,
Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.